energy from international suppliers as one single customer.
It is important that we do not outbid each other as member states, but that we use the market power to purchase gas.
It's thought a deal might be finalised on Monday. There are plenty of other divisions within the 27-nation EU. Austria is blocking Romania and Bulgaria from the border-free Schengen area. Meanwhile, funding for Hungary is being withheld over rule of law issues.
Russia is blackmailing us every day. But if we start to blackmail each other, this is not good. And this is absolutely not good for European Union.
A dark shadow of corruption is hanging over the EU. It emerged last Friday that Qatar has been bribing politicians and officials.
This scandal is a very serious matter indeed, which can shake trust in democracy and the parliamentary system. Thus, it is good that the Belgian authorities are thoroughly investigating.
At their summit, EU leaders refused to be drawn on the question of possible sanctions against Qatar. However, they signed off on more sanctions against Russia and also Iran. The leaders agreed to provide at least 20 billion euro to Ukraine in 2023. Campaigners say they should be doing more for their own citizens.
So many people in poverty, like everything what's going on from the crisis from 2008 until now, nothing changed.
It's clear that things could soon get a lot worse if the EU fails to secure a reliable long-term energy source at the right price. The costly Ukrainian refugee crisis is also growing by the day. So the final EU leader summit of 2022 has now concluded. Analysts say the unprecedented challenges they will face in 2023 could stretch the EU project beyond breaking point. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
While the West is expanding sanctions against Moscow and Tehran over their military cooperation, the potential for developing relations between the two countries is huge, since Russia and Iran are under tough Western sanctions and therefore have little to fear.
The will of our governments is interconnected. Our high-ranking officials and our peoples do not pay attention to the shouts of the entire West and continue to strengthen their ties and interaction.
At the press conference held in Moscow, Iran's ambassador to Russia summed up the outcome of relations between Moscow and Iran in 2022. He noted that Russia's ruble is used in more than 40% of trade between the two countries and that the Russian currency may become the main one in bilateral trade. According to his remarks, Tehran supported the idea of using the ruble as the main currency in regional unions such as the EAEU. He also referred to efforts to integrate the national payment systems MIR and Shetab as part of financial and economic cooperation between Russia and Iran. According to the Iranian envoy, Russia and Iran are seeking to reduce the dominance of certain currencies, including the dollar, in bilateral trade and economic relations. Jalali further said the automotive industry and space sector have become another field of cooperation between the two countries. In August, Russia launched remote sensing satellite Hayam into orbit on behalf of Iran.
As for our negotiations, I want to say that negotiations between our respective organizations in the field of outer space are ongoing on a regular basis.
Iran is investigating the possibility of producing cars jointly with Russia. Two leading automakers of the Islamic Republic, Saipa and Iran Hadro, took part in last summer's exhibition in Moscow and held negotiations with the Russian side. In addition to the joint production, the two countries are also discussing the possibility of sending Iranian cars to Russia. Russian and Iranian officials have time and again said that the two countries are determined to further expand bilateral cooperation. They have expressed confidence that the aim will materialize despite all the challenges the two nations might face, given the numerous capacities the two sides have. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
humanity.
شیخ قاسم محمدی.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم و بهی نستعین و صلی الله علی محمد و اهل بیت الطیبین الطاهرین. اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد و عجل فرجهم. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is for humanity. We've been talking about the necessity and the fact that it's very important and necessary to talk about the reality of human beings. And we talked about the importance of this issue from a rational point of view. We said that when we want to see whether a sort of knowledge is important and necessary to be known by human being or not, the way to recognize and to distinguish a worthy topic for being known and a topic that is not worthy of being known is to see whether lacking that knowledge harms you or not, or the amount that you may lose if you don't acquire that knowledge. And we said that maybe one of the most important or the most important topic that we have to know, otherwise we're going to lose a lot, is to know about humanity. And we said that the main cause of most human problems is the lack of this view being ingrained and established in human beliefs and practice. If this point of view, being knowing about humanity and, you know, actually a right understanding of humanity, is established in humans in an individual way and also in a social way in their societies, we will undoubtedly witness a better world. And the Quran and the traditions always try to deepen this belief in human beings. So you can see the other side that is using the wrong understanding of human beings, the shaytan and the tawaqit. They seek to weaken this belief in humans, or by completely denying the spiritual realm of man with various methods, from various philosophical schools to some secular sciences. You know, they try their best to consider man as a one-dimensional being, for example. And from that point, you know, the deviation starts. Let me give you one example from science. The evolution, the atheists, actually evolutionists, that are, as the technical term goes, physicalists, they consider human being to has just a material dimension to it, to him or to her. And they do not accept anything called the soul, and they have they even consider the introspective perceptions such as consciousness, etc., to be the product of millions of years of evolution of the primitive forms of life. So according to them, man is a sort of byproduct of evolution, and man has no special goal or purpose. Rather, indeed, the whole universe lacks goal and purpose. Now, a person who is going to experience life with such a view and such a worldview and such understanding of human being, whether in a sort of individual arena or in the social arena, let's say that he is about to make a decision, a very important decision for millions, you know, for a country, for a nation. For example, to make a decision for starting a war or to make and use chemical or biological weapons. Can you imagine how such a belief would affect the decisions of such a person? Okay, so inshallah, we're going to have a very short break and we're going to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to For Humanity. We've been talking about the necessity of the topic of understanding man and how important and necessary this topic is. So when a person becomes one-dimensional, his or her values are different from a person who considers another dimension to human being, which is the spiritual dimension. Their goals are different. Their personal and social life plan to achieve those goals and purposes will also be different. So inshallah, in future programs and in this program also, inshallah, we're going to deal with the reality and the man, you know, the reality of man and what really man is or human being is. Of course, from the Quranic and traditional perspective. And on the other hand, we're going, inshallah, to talk about the other understandings or alternative understandings that exist there that are not coming from a monotheistic or divine nature and, you know, origin. Inshallah, we're going to talk about all those schools and those other alternatives that talk about the nature of human being and the reality of human beings as well. So before getting into the bulk of our discussion, let's first take a look at a sort of roadmap of our discussions, and inshallah we're going to start the main issue. Firstly, we're going to talk about the reasons that we can get from the Quran and the traditions which emphasize on the importance of studying man's nature. So we already take a look at why it is important and it's necessary for us to take a look at, you know, this topic of humanity, but from a sort of rational point of view. But inshallah, we're going to talk about the reasons that we can get from the Quran and the traditions that are talking about the importance and the necessity of this topic as well. And this way, inshallah, we're going to have a sort of strong reason in order for continuing our discussions and our study about human nature and about the reality of human nature. We're going, inshallah, to also talk about the two-dimensionalness of human being, that human being in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the traditions of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallatu wasalam, has been depicted as having two dimensions to it. Unlike, you know, those schools that do not recognize any other aspect and dimension for humanity other than its material dimension. So we're going to talk about the fact that the human soul is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reality. Inshallah, we're going to talk also about the even the material aspect of human being based on the Quran and the traditions. We're going, inshallah, to talk about the creation of human being as depicted in the Quran, and also this, you know, the spiritual dimension of human being as talked about in the Quran as well. And there are other issues that, inshallah, we're going to talk about in the coming session. That will be all for today's discussion. Inshallah, we're going to continue our discussion in the next episode of For Humanity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآله.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
As China becomes more powerful, Washington, as it has done before and always do as an antagonizing force, tries to bully its allies into accepting what it dictates. Most of the time, these dictates are harmful for U.S. allies, and they better do something about their foreign policy rather than following in U.S. footsteps. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Global Times noted, recently China's surrounding areas, especially the region of Southeast Asia, have attracted much attention with several major summits taking place. China and the U.S. are actively engaged in summit diplomacy, not only holding summit between the two sides' heads of state, but also holding bilateral dialogues with leaders of other countries, respectively, to promote their own international agendas and foreign policies. The Joe Biden administration has continued to promote regional strategy and some measures that aim to contain China in some specific areas, including technology decoupling and reshape of regional supply chains. But as China becomes more powerful, Washington has to take into consideration the security risks of competing with China and work to intensify a strategic competition with China while avoiding a military clash with China. The Biden administration was eager to meet with the Chinese head of state to avoid misjudgment and conflict and resume cooperation in areas like military exchanges, climate change, and drug control. This is because of internal and external pressures like the midterm elections, severe inflation, and several countermeasures China has put in place since Pelosi's reckless visit to Taiwan. During the summit, both sides elaborated on their own policy stances on major concerns, bilateral relations, and significant global challenges. They also reached a number of important consensus which point a clear direction to development of ties. Washington's desire to stabilize relations does not mean that it has changed its policy towards China. The Biden administration still emphasizes competition with China. Compared with the Trump administration, it pays more attention to the role of allies. The Biden administration has stepped up its diplomatic efforts with Asia-Pacific nations and seeks to isolate China by strengthening cooperation with its allies, which, however, prompted the regional countries to face the dilemma of taking sides between two major powers. However, most U.S. allies are very resistant to take sides. For example, Prime Minister of Singapore Lee Hsien Loong indicated that ASEAN member states do not want to choose sides. Canberra has also sought to mend ties with China. In addition, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz took a business delegation on his trip to Beijing recently and reached a series of cooperation agreements. The fundamental reason that this situation occurs is the contrast of strengths and differences in interest. First, it is foolish to choose sides between two rival powers. China and U.S. are two countries with the strongest comprehensive strength and international influence in the world. The The state of China-U.S. relations not only affects the cooperation and competition between the two countries, but also has a huge impact on the global situation. For other countries, it is not in their fundamental interest to get involved in confrontation between China and the U.S. or to choose sides between the two. Second, decoupling with China is not in the interest of U.S. allies and partners. China and the U.S. are the two largest economies in the world. China-U.S. relations deeply affect the world economy. In the eyes of the vast majority of countries, a decoupling of economics or technology is not conducive to their own economic development. Third, there are cognitive differences between the U.S. and its allies and partners. Most Asia-Pacific countries and some of the U.S. allies and partners have a high degree of economic dependence on China's economy, and they have different perceptions of their strategic relationships with China. The U.S. regards itself as the global hegemon and the designer and defender of the West-led international order. It has a strong hegemonic anxiety with China's rapid development. Nonetheless, U.S. allies and partners in the West, or non-Western allies, which share Western values and political ideology, have a certain degree of anxiety about China, while most other allies and partners have no obvious strategic anxiety about China and hope to benefit from China's development. In addition, China actively conducts diplomatic work, expounds China's position and policies in a timely and comprehensive manner, and provides wisdom and solutions to promote peace and development at the regional and global levels. This has made many U.S. allies and partners improve their attitude toward China. There are indications that most U.S. allies and partners do not want to choose sides between China and the U.S., and they're not to, and cannot fully follow the U.S. in restricting China. This not only reflects the reality that China's strength and influence have increased significantly, but also reflects the decline of U.S. on its allies and partners, and that the political and economic coercion and value-guided methods cannot achieve the goals of the U.S. If the U.S. does not change its zero-sum thinking and understanding of China, it will be difficult to completely change its China policy and its expectations for allies and partners. However, this is not in line with the will of all countries to expect world peace and common development.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle.
Today's lesson, believing in hereafter. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of believing in hereafter in the Islamic lifestyle. When we talk about the Islamic lifestyle, we know that a Muslim is a person who believes in a God, who believes in the prophethood, who believes in the hereafter or the day of judgment. These are the basic three things. Apart from that, in the Shia Islam, obviously, we know that when we believe in God, we also believe in God to be just. He is a just. So after that, when we believe in the Nabuwa, we also believe in Imamate. And then the fifth factor, the principle, is to believe on the Day of Judgment. So these are the basic things. Therefore, in order to have an Islamic lifestyle, it is necessary to believe
in the hereafter, in the life after the death. And we believe that there is a life after that. Why? Because everything that we are performing in this world, we all are answerable to what we are doing. So when we are answerable to our actions, to our deeds in this life, and we are performing this, if we are answerable in hereafter, then we will be very, very much careful about what we are doing. Because we know that if we perform good deeds, we're going to have reward in hereafter. If we perform bad deeds, we will have the punishment. And there are some charges in hereafter. So when a person living an Islamic lifestyle believes on the Day of Judgment, he believes in the life after the death, he lives a very careful life in this material world, then he will use this material world in order to achieve the ranks and the status and the earnings for hereafter. And he spends his thinking, thoughts, working, and actions for the hereafter, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of believing in hereafter in the Islamic lifestyle. We said it is necessary to believe in hereafter or the life after death in the Islamic lifestyle because our actions, our deeds, our way of living depends on this. Because when someone knows that he is answerable, even if he's alone, he will not commit a sin because he knows that Allah can see I'm answerable for my actions. My body parts will witness against me if I do something wrong, or they will witness in my favor if I do something right. So this is necessary to have this belief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said in the Quran in chapter 2 verse 62, and I want the attention of all listeners, whether they're Jews, they're Christians or Muslims, that in chapter 2 verse number 62, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "Inna alladhina amanu," certainly those who believed, means Muslims, "walladhina hadu," and those who are Jew, "wan-nasara," and those who are Christians, "was-sabi'in," and those who are the Sabians, "man amana billah," whoever believes in Allah as Allah, one God, "wal yawmil akhir," and the Day of Judgment, "wa amila salihan," and they perform good deeds, "falahum," therefore for them is ajruhum, there is a reward for them, "inda rabbihim," near their God, "wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun," they will neither have a fear nor a grieve of what they have done. So basically, if you are a Christian, if you are a Jew, if you are a Muslim, if you are a Sabian, if you believe in one God, if you believe in Allah to be the God, Allah to be the God, if you believe on the Day of Judgment, and if you perform good deeds, then obviously there is a reward for you. So believing in hereafter is from the necessities of the religion. It's from the basics and the principles of the religion that we need to have this. And in order to have an Islamic lifestyle, we should believe in hereafter so that our lifestyle is according to this belief and we can have the best life, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In early December, the French government announced a new health measure. Young people in France will have free access to condoms from January in a bid to minimize the spread of sexually transmitted infections. Emmanuel Macron said young people would be able to collect them from pharmacies and described the move as a small revolution in prevention. In 2020 and 2021, France experienced a 30% national increase in sexually transmitted infections rates, prodding the authorities into action. Yet some say there are much more important things at stake, especially when it comes to women, that must be the government's overriding priority. That said, SITs are taking a heavy toll on French citizens, especially French women.
These sexually transmitted infections can have serious health consequences. For example, these infections can cause infertility, adverse pregnancy outcomes, and also adverse birth outcomes, such as stillbirth, neonatal death, and low birth weight.
France has long been patting itself on the back for giving women free contraceptives and allowing them to abort at will, under the name of defending women's rights. But aren't all these measures much ado about nothing, targeting hearth and home in the long run? The fact is, the image France is trying to give of itself as an ideal place for being a woman is a distorted version of reality. Behind the attractive facades lies piles of horrible stories with women playing the role of victims. In late November, an appalling crime left residents of a French town in a state of shock after the rape and murder of a 40-year-old girl in the south of the country, weeks after the brutal killing of yet another 12-year-old girl in Paris. No wonder how vulnerable girls would be in a country where boys fall victim to sexual predators at an alarming rate. In early November, a priest working in northwest France was charged after being accused of drugging and raping a 50-year-old boy. Back in January, the French Interior Ministry released shocking figures, revealing that instances of sexual violence in 2021 increased by 33% from the previous year. The crime figures not only revealed that instances of sexual violence, rape, attempted rape, sexual harassment, and sexual assault jumped 33% from the previous year, but that physical assaults rose from the third year in a row. In fact, French women and girls are also the prime targets for domestic violence. In late January, a 28-year-old woman was found strangled to death in her apartment in Paris. Her partner and killer was a police officer who had previously been convicted on domestic abuse charges. In 2020, there were in total approximately 213,000 women who suffered physical or sexual violence from their spouse or former spouse. While the treatment of women has come under scrutiny through campaigns like the Me Too movement, domestic violence has been overlooked as the bruises of domestic abuse are less visible. Meanwhile, considered one of the worst crimes that can be committed, child abuse is rampant in France. In 2018, more than 23,500 minors were victims of sexual violence. Incest is also much more widespread than expected. In 2020, it was estimated that 6.7 million people had been subjected to incest during their lives, and 32% of French people said they had incest victims in their circle. Moreover, the killings of three women on the first day of 2022 evoked massive outcry over France's growing problem of femicide. Activists have criticized the government's inability to rein in deadly domestic violence. In 2021 alone, 113 women were killed by men who were in most cases their male partners or ex-partners. While Macron's government is going to hand out free condoms, self-praising the move as a small revolution in prevention, French women are exposed to the severest acts of violence that may cost even their lives. In the name of freedom, the French authorities have left women alone, vulnerable in the face of domestic violence and sexual abuse. French society needs more than a small revolution in the prevention of crimes that hit women as the guardians of families and family values.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حرام.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلة اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. Here again, we have some of the students of Sevier International School. And I want to say hello and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers. How are you? Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Fine, inshallah. Okay, great. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, how are you, sir?
Okay, that's great. Alhamdulillah. And Hussain Ruhullah?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah, everyone is here fine. And we hope, inshallah, our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now on IRIB English Radio, I hope, inshallah, you are well and fine. So, brothers, today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll have some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Inshallah, we'll have a short explanation about them and then the tajweed rules, okay? So, today, ayah, or verse number 156, and 157, inshallah, we'll have them, okay? From Surah Al-Baqarah, page 24, I really want our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, please hold your Quran, turn to page 24, ayah 157 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So before we start, let's everyone listen to the recitation of this two verses.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون
Thank you so much. So please listen and repeat after me. Okay, guys?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا
أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة
أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة
وأولئك هم المهتدون
وأولئك هم المهتدون
أحسنت ما شاء الله Thank you so much. In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty said that we test you, yes? We test you with certain things. like, for example, a measure of fear, hunger, a loss to your wealth, a loss to your lives, a loss to some of crops or fruits, products, okay, these things. So Allah Almighty said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to those who are patient. So in this ayah, Allah Almighty explains who are those who are patient. Okay? Hassan? الَّذِينَ, those who are patient in the tests, okay? There are those who, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, when an affliction, or for example, a sorrow or a sadness or an evil, for example, I'm saying this is my word, okay? Visits them or touches them, okay? A challenge, a difficulty comes to them, okay? They say, indeed, قَالُوا, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ, indeed, we belong to Allah Almighty. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and to Him do we indeed return. You might have heard this ayah, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, especially when someone dies, okay, people recite this ayah, yes? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Why do they recite this? They're trying to, for example, what? Give us this belief and give us this strong belief that, don't worry, you're from God. You're returning to God. You're not dead. You're not dead, okay? Understood? So, if it's very important, if someone wants to believe in these beliefs, okay? In these principles, okay? That when we die, we are not actually dead, okay? We're alive. It's very difficult to understand, but to accept. But if you want to accept this easily, you have to learn about what is the reality of death. What happens to someone when he dies? Do you know why people are afraid of death? Some of the people? Huh?
Yes, because they think their life will end.
Because they think the life ends after they die. In fact, it's not that way. Your life just starts. If you had lived a very good life, okay, in this world, okay, after death, the life just starts. And it doesn't have any end. You go to eternity. Okay? So it's important to know the reality of death and what happens to someone who is dead. Okay? So I want you to refer to the Tafasir Ahadith, Ayat of Quran Karim, inshallah, in the Tafasir classes. Join, please, them. Okay? Inshallah, you will learn a lot about them. So, guys, in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Okay? It is they who receive the blessings of Allah Almighty. Those who are patient, yes? Those who say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, no problem, Allah Almighty will fix it. Okay? وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, and it is they who are the rightly guided people. Okay? Whenever, God forbid, any sorrow happens to you, okay, touches you, or anything difficulty you face, okay? God, I believe in you. You will never leave me alone, okay? So fix it, please. The way you want. It's very important to believe this way, okay? And it's difficult. But it can be easy if you ask Allah Almighty, okay? So say, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. It's not only for a dead person, okay? To recite this ayah for, you can recite it anywhere, anytime. So guys, refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, a hadith about the explanations, more explanation about these verses, okay? Inshallah, you will learn a lot. يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Guys, the very important part of our session, which is actually the Tajweed rules. Important rules are here. Let me mention them, inshallah. We'll practice. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Now let's practice with the Tajweed rules. الذين, you know that any word that has Hamzatul Wasl and Lam, okay, Al, okay, they are nouns, okay?
Yeah.
You have to start. If you start from them, you pronounce Hamzatul Wasl, and what haraka do you assign Hamzatul Wasl with?
Fatha.
Al, Alhamdulillah, Ar-Rahman, that's it. If they happen in the middle of words, for example, what do you do? Between two words, for example?
Skip the Hamzatul Wasl.
Skip Hamzatul Wasl. For example, if there was a waw before Alladhina, you would say? Alladhina, idha. Pronunciation of the letter Dhal, Saad, here they are important. Hamza. Okay? And also Ayn. Alladhina, idha asabatum. The mad of the word idha, is that wajib or mustahab? Mustahab no jais.
I think
wajib.
Jais.
Jais. It is jais. Huh?
Jaws, yes, jaws.
Yeah, because jaws. The next Hamza, which comes after Idha, that's in the next word.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
in the same word. So it's Jais. So you can skip this mud, or you can even stretch it for six counts. Asabatum. There is a baby alif, a dagger alif on the top of Sat. Make sure you prolong it. Asabatum. Not asabatum, no. Asabatum. Hum, mim sakin plus mim. Fawad knows this well. Idgham
mislain.
Ah, idgham mislain, no. Mithlain. Pronunciation mithlain. Of the letter. Yeah. Make sure. Mithlain. Okay. So, idgham mithlain. Three rules were there for the meme sakin. One of them was idgham mithlain, if there is a meme after meme sakin. And the other one was ikhfa, when there is a ba after the letter meme sakin. And the rest of the letters.
Izhar.
Actually, not izhar.
Izhar.
Yes. So, now, mim sakin plus mim, idgham,
mithlain.
Asabatuhum, nasal sound, two counts. Musibatun, tanween, and plus qaf. Qaf is from the rest of the letters. Tanween plus qaf.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, bad. In a way that your listener kind of understands that. The letter qaf comes after. Musibatun qalu. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And idgham with, ikhfa with a nasal sound also. Musibatun qalu. Inna qalu. There is a mad. Mad is not wajib because inna. Hamza is in the next word.
Yes.
Inna lillahi. Pronunciation of the letter lam in the word Allah. Lightly. Lillahi. Why? Because the first lam, which is not a part of the word Allah, so that has a kasra. Lillahi. Li Allahi it is. Lillahi. Okay? So that's a kasra. So try to produce a light sound. Wa inna. Mad is not again wajib because Hamza in the next word is not in this word. They are in separate words. Inna ilayhi raji'un. When you stop here, change the fatha of noon to sukun and produce a long vowel sound. Ulaika. This is mad wajib. Six counts. Ulaika alayhim salawatun plus mim. Join them. Salawatum.
Idgham.
Mir rabbihim. Idgham. Again. Join them. Wa rahmah. If you stop, tanween will be changed to sukoon. And salah says it is?
Better to continue.
Better to continue. Wasl is better. Salah is the sign of stopping. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. So guys, listen once. I will recite. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون صدق الله العلي العظيم. So Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us, and thanks for listening to us in IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll be here with you every day. Stay with us, please. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools for cooperations. And if you have any questions, guys, no? See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.